welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott celebrate the life and the untimely passing of Wine Vault's fame member, Bo. And they drink to celebrate his life, the Heights Wine Cellars Trailside Vineyard Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. It's good to be here.
And you heard on the open, it's a sad time for us here on the show. Our beloved Wine Vault dog, and, well, my dog, and, well, Scott's surrogate dog, really, yeah. Bo, passed away, unfortunately, this week. Well, yesterday, actually. We had planned, this is a Tuesday night. He passed away on a Monday. And we had debated whether or not we were going to do the show tonight, but then I realized this was what Bo would want us to do. Now, what he would not have wanted is for us to have a surrogate animal in the room being George. Bo would not like that.
Didn't like George.
I didn't tell George. Just so Bo knows, wherever he is, in heaven, presumably. George, the first thing he did was vomit on the carpet. So he did not do well in his tryout, I guess. What is he doing now? Is he laying on the carpet?
He has crashed on the carpet.
Oh, well, that's
in a very Bo-esque spot.
Yeah, he is a little bit. Yeah.
And George did greet me at the front door, not necessarily the top of the stairs, but.
Mm-hmm. Scott tried to commiserate with George, and George rowed at him and
I tried to pick him up.
Yeah, he doesn't mind being picked up. Just stranger danger.
Well, he was rubbing on my leg and purring and all that, and maybe I got him too riled up in the purring because he definitely was to the stage with the purring where he was starting to nip at you, you know, when a cat gets excited like that.
Well, I know Sally does that.
It's not a common. It's actually kind of an overstimulated response, thing. And
yesterday, I was sitting in a chair, you know, obviously just sitting there, sad. And Sally came up and got on my lap and did the very Sally thing of nip me. Like 20 times.
Before you were petting her, she just decided, I'm going to have a little nip.
Why are you crying? Why are you sad? This is a happy day. This is probably what Sally was thinking. Ding dong. The witch. But, you know, nevertheless.
There was some definite competition between that animal and the Bo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Nevertheless, though, we will get back to Bo and talk about him on the potpourri tonight. But in celebration of his life, we have pulled out a great wine by Heights Wine Cellars. You know Heights. We know Heights. And this is their Trailside Vineyards from Rutherford. Trailside is the upper echelon of the Heights portfolio. There's, well, Martha's Vineyard is the top. And then below that is Heights, their Trailside. Trailside, when I bought this, it was used to be in the 90s to $100, $125. Now it's $160. So this is the 2008 vintage, so this is an older one. I've had Trailside a couple times before. My last time I had it was 2006. It's a lovely wine, and it's just 100% Cabernet, 100% French Oak, 100% Rutherford.
If you're going to start cellaring wine, regardless of your price point, Heights something you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're regular, and I use air quotes, Heights. It's a reasonable product for a reasonable price. What about $65, $70?
Somewhere in that range. I buy it every few vintages. They also have lot, I think, is it lot 99 now? And it comes in at just a tick under $100. So they have some different things that you can opt for. It's not all $170, $100, whatever. But it's a little bit unique in the fact that it's, well, they got bought out by a Japanese consortium, I think. But it's still family ran.
Yes.
And when you went in there, the coolest thing, because I've been to Heights, actually. The coolest thing about Heights was, other than the wines being great, the tasting was free back
Hello.
In the day.
And it's been a minute, though.
It's been a minute. It's been 10 years since I was there.
I wonder if it still is.
Probably not. But even then. And that was Martha's Vineyard, too, and that's $300 a bottle.
That's unfreaking believable.
Yeah, I bought a bottle of Trailside while I was there. And I bought this one then a couple years later. But I bought this one maybe 2017-ish, 16-ish, somewhere in that range. So it had a few years on it. I bought it at the wine shop off Dublin Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been there, twice, and one time I bought this.
Carneros, I think, maybe?
Something with a C. Didn't matter. I don't know if it's still there or not. He probably retired, but nevertheless. A great bottle of wine to celebrate a great dog.
Yeah.
So.
Great memories.
Great memories. That's true. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Heights Cellars Trailside Vineyard Cabernet. Now, this wine, some information about it. Now, this is the current vintages, but they haven't really changed it much over the last year. But it does have alluvial soils. 100% Cabernet, as I said before, all Rutherford. And I believe it's a single vineyard, but they have lots, whatnot, through there. So let's take a look here. 100% new French oak barrels. Each lot is continuously tasted and evaluated for 2 years, after which the superior barrels are selected to become the Trailside Vineyard Cabernet.
Wow.
So they harvest it, they barrel it, and then determine from what they've had what goes into the Trailside. Only the best goes there. Now, the rest of it would be filtered up, presumably, into their Napa. So,
right.
Or the lot. The lot 99. Yeah.
And where does the Martha's Vineyard fit in? Do they use that to tip it off and blend it? You don't.
Martha's Vineyard is Oakville. So it's a separate vineyard. And one thing about Martha's Vineyard, it wouldn't work too well with blend with anything else. It's a little bit unique in the fact that it's it has eucalyptus trees there.
Hmm.
And Martha's Vineyard, for some reason, has a strong eucalyptus note. It's very unique in that fashion.
Huh.
They also have the Linda Falls, and that's Howe Mountain, and then the Trailside. So they're three top, Martha's Vineyard, Oakville, naturally.
What's the Howe Mountain one called again?
Linda Falls.
Linda Falls.
Mm-hmm.
What's that one go for?
About the same as Trailside.
Gotcha.
It's a little harder to find, though. And then the Trailside, then they have Lot 99, then the Napa. And as you know, we've done the Grigolino on the show.
Yep.
We've done their Port on the show, which I don't think they're currently making. Did we do the Chardonnay?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
It's a candidate. It's certainly a candidate.
I've had their Sauvignon Blanc. Have I had their Chardonnay? I think I have had their Chardonnay. I mean, it's Chardonnay. What the hell? What do you want from
Chardonnay? Chardonnay.
It's Chardonnay. It's a nice Chardonnay.
Whoa, 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 sir.
What's that?
Linda Falls, the 2016.
Mm-hmm.
269 of your American
dollars. Oh, so it's a little bit more than
at
that.
Least.
I knew it was harder to find. Harder to find, so that's fine. This one, though, is in the same price range as like Stag's Leap, Wine Cellars Fay, or stuff like that. That's where this is. It always has kind of mirrored those prices, but it's gone up a lot.
Well, so here's the 3-year climb from 2014 for Linda Falls, $1.65, 2015, $2.09,
yeah.
2016, $270.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure it's a meteoric type rise in quality, too. It's just meteoric.
Yeah, and this is like the Trailside. 2010, $90. All right, and then now for the 2016, it's up to $160.
Yeah.
That's a big jump. It really is. I'm sure that they have their reasons, but that's a big jump.
Holy shit, sir. Do you know what? a 2016 Martha's Vineyards going for online.com?
360?
309.
Oh, 309?
Still, that's 300 of your dollars.
But when you think of what the Linda Falls costs, you buy the Martha's Vineyard.
I think I might have to retract heights. It's something you have to have in your cellar.
It's pretty
Those
expensive.
Those are two off the top. But
yeah.
The two basic, base-ish kind of prices, the regular heights and then that lot, what, 109, 99?
Whatever it is.
What is it?
Lot something.
Lot heights. C91?
There you go, C91. I got an email from Heights offering me
$100.
That initially before it came out, and I was like, ooh, that's exciting. Then I saw it on wine.com. I went, no. It's a good wine, I'm sure, but I just haven't. It's not a single vineyard. It's just, I think it's the lot blends that aren't making it into those other ones. It gets good reviews, but it doesn't really excite me.
I mean, it gets good reviews, but mm-hmm. Enthusiast gave it 90 of their points. Spectator, 91. Parker, 92. Now, Decanter and James Suckling, Point X, 96.
That's right. I gave it 96 of my points. I thought it was delicious.
Decanter, yeah, you know.
I was also sniffing glue when I
four different AVAs it's made from. Rutherford, Oakville, Howell Mountain, and St. Helena.
Have you ever drank toilet duck, Scott? I did that same day, and it's minty, but it has a very complex palate, and it made me feel a little bit woozy, and I passed out for 17 hours, actually. And
you should be woozy, James.
During which they pumped my stomach, and I was in intensive care for 5 days afterwards, but at that same time, I did review the lot, whatever it is.
C91,
yes, that's correct. I also won bingo with that same number. It's strangely, and or did I imagine all of that? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I just 96. Why not? But the Trailside Vineyard, the 2008, did get one review that was posted anyway, and it was from the Wine Spectator. Now, I used to work for the Wine Spectator. Did you know that, Scott?
Didn't you get fired?
I did, and actually, there's an embargo not allowing me to read their reviews. So, yes, this is Wilford. I'll just jump in here. I never was fired from the Wine Spectator. I've never been hired by anybody legitimate, so that's okay. Anyway, they gave it 90 of their points. Now, you might say that's not much, but that's actually a lot. Back in the day when there were no ads, so you know, yeah, think 13 years ago. That's a lot of points, but they said presents a firm mix of dried berry, crushed rock, dried herb, cedary cigar box notes, eventually turning into a pleasing chocolate-covered cherry and dried herb complexity. They said dried herb twice.
They did.
I know. The tannins are gripping. Drink now through 2023, which...
What year is it?
2023.
Hello.
I know. It's like he did that on purpose. I don't know.
Kano Wines has a review of this. It's kind of sort
who?
Of a review. Kano Wines, they have their little notes.
Who?
K and L Wines.
Oh, okay. Well,
Kano Wine Merge. So online shopping.
Have you ever bought from them?
I've looked at them. It's just
you never bought from them, have
it's,
you?
Their shipping's exorbitant.
And they're not real. I think it's a Russian thing. But
oh, okay. They're real.
I don't know. You don't know. I've never heard of any. People buy from Vivino, but they never buy from that. They never do.
You got a lot of good specific information on their website. If you search specific wines that you don't get, you know, paid for ad hits, they show up quite a bit.
I think they're a little bit probably like Vivino, where yes, they do have some of their wines, but the majority of them are they're linked into merchants around the country.
I think that's exactly how they operate. Mm-hmm. I could be mistaken, but K&L notes fans of Heights Cellars Cabernet Sauvignon split into two groups, Martha's fans and Trailside fans. The Trailside Vineyard Cab, from a gently sloping belt of gravelly soils bordered by the Silverado Trail to the east and Con Creek to the west that the Heights family acquired in the 1980s, is often the plusher, darker, and more modern of the two, but framed by those famous Rutherford tannins. I don't know. That's an interesting descriptor.
That was Triple B breaking shit upstairs. She's not on tonight, folks. She's tired and emotional.
Tough times.
I know.
She's still plotting her revenge for the International Wine Festival episode.
She hasn't been on since that, has she?
No.
The mini bottle palooza. I almost haven't been on since then. Jesus Christ. They still have those in the little bins at Kroger, mind you.
It's disgusting.
It is really repulsive. It's horrid, actually.
There is a plan for you in her return, and it is the revenge episode. And
she said it's your plan, and she's a little disturbed by it.
No, she likes it. Because
you get your little brain, like your wheels going. And
see, Rob's just trying to talk his way out of something. And
I'm sure it'll be great.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, you do something silly, and it'll be overthought and be a complete failure.
Very simple.
Okay. Okay. Does it involve Grifone? Because Mike Pence needs a little bit of that right
this
now.
This is what kills him.
I don't care.
And Triple B might be putting off her return to continue holding this revenge episode over his head.
Oh, I'm sure she has, and I'm very worried about it.
Just look forward to the introduction to that episode.
Oh, great. Well, on the nose.
In the glass.
Oh, in the glass, yes. This wine does look dark.
Of course, it's in the very oversized
Grand Bordeaux glasses. Tearing shit up. What is she doing? She understands that you can't take a pickaxe to a floor and strike gold. What the hell is she doing?
What's she doing? I never know what she's doing back there. Ma! Meatloaf! Now!
But it's very dark crimson. Looks very proper in the glass.
You know, I would have expected a little bit of brickishness, and I'm not seeing that. This is 15 years old, folks.
Yeah, yeah. On the nose.
On the nose, you know it's a cellared wine.
Deep notes of cassis.
Yeah. Proper Napa, savory.
There's a little bit of violet. Just a wink of cured meat, but just the smallest wink. And then also, I mean, the floral notes are really the high tones.
It's the highlight of the nose is the floral tones. Violet. I was thinking like a sweeter, like almost like a honeysuckle.
Yeah, no. Yeah, thing. Yes, yes.
It's. Did you expect the floral notes yes. to this? Did you now?
At this level, yes. And from Heights, yes. Because that, yeah, Heights... Heights believes in old school complexity. I mean, so many of the wineries anymore don't. You know, they want to purple death you.
And you know. Even just the big, plush California fruit, this has a nose that it could still be that, but the subtlety of the floral element is wonderful.
It's, yeah.
Not even going to try to compare a nose to this in recent tastings.
No.
I don't think would have something close because this is a big nose. Maybe you don't get the effect if you're not drinking out of this big Bordeaux style glass that we are, and that's why you drink wine out of the proper glasses.
Mm-hmm. Also, mint is definitely
and this is what about a 14 ounce stem? I mean, it's a big wine glass.
It's bigger than that, I think. Yeah, so
it's
here we go.
Beautiful legs. Quick forming, but slow to reach the zenith of returning to the glass. Beautiful legs, really, folks.
Oh, my God. Oh. You see, some wineries understand where really the genesis of red wine was. That's not in California. That's in Europe. That's in Bordeaux. And a wine like this, in its core, is rooted in what they did in Bordeaux, and it has. I mean, it's Californian, mind you, but it's not in a certain sense in the way the flavor presents. It is not austere, but it is not jazzy. It is very focused and clean, yet rich.
The texture of the wine is very Bordeaux. It's not California in approach or in the texture or the mouthfeel per se. It's interesting for me in that it almost has that leaner style on the palate. It's not a lean wine, but it has that leaner style, that French style where, you know, a cab-based wine from Bordeaux has a different mouthfeel than your typical big, burly California cab. This leans that way.
This tastes like a Saint-Julien Bordeaux.
I mean, you would think this is French.
Yeah, no, it tastes like something from Saint-Julien.
It's long. There's a... What it does have from California kind of tilted into that St. Julien, it's got a fruity front palate still.
Well, yeah.
It really does.
And you taste the soil. The soil is everything on the finish. The alluvium soils just come through. That slightly rocky, sandy soil can be tasted all the way through. I assume that there's limestone involved in that too, but... It imparts so well. You can taste the vineyard. You can taste the wildflowers growing around the area. You can just taste everything.
I'm still trying to...
It's like a portal.
deal with the front palate that has a sweet fruit component layered in with the savory fruit elements. It's almost like a... It's like a sweet blueberry almost. That's where I'm going to go, like a sweet blueberry, but it's layered with fruit. There's that cassis that we had on the nose is in there. It's like this dollop of black currant that there's a minute where that you get that pruny, bittersweet pruny thing, but there's four or five different fruit elements going on, but it's all layered within the back of it is that sweet blueberry fruit, but it's not dominant, and it's that sweet blueberry surprises me,
and the wine tastes so clean.
Almost the word I would use is almost crisp.
Yes, it has a fresh crispness to it where it's vibrant and alive. It doesn't taste old at all. Now, but this is the way it was designed to meant to taste. You know, you're going to, as I think if you push this to 2025, 2027, you're going to start seeing that lean out and you're going to see a little more vegetal elements. I can see that. This is perfect time to drink this wine.
I don't think you would want to go longer than this, really.
Because you'd lose something, and you don't want to lose anything that you're tasting in the glass.
I think the tannins are right where you would want them to be. They're nearly gone, but they're not. But for me, why I feel that this is spot on and agree with you that it is, just the length of the finish.
Yeah.
It hasn't flattened off.
Nope.
Maybe 2 years ago the finish was longer than this. I can't imagine, though. This is really long.
Yeah.
But I think the way the tannins have relaxed in their towards the end of their realistic life, that's what allows the soil and the limestone and that gravelly thing to come through in the finish. If you don't age this properly, maybe that comes through earlier in its life.
But it's more likely to be a tannin bomb.
And now it's just a balance between those two things, that the elements of the terroir, the soil coming through, the tannins are there with them, almost on equal footing. I don't think you get that equal footing if you drink this sooner.
I will say, if Wine Spectator re-reviewed it as of today, they would not give it 90 of their points.
I think that was probably horribly underscored.
Yes.
Often,
though, you'll see a great... And this is the one reason why this wine no longer can be had for $90. You know, it can't be had for $90 because it is another level wine. So you have things... What do you get for $90? You get Camus. This is not Camus.
Well, and Camus, particularly for a drink now wine, is great. It's a great drink now wine. But it's also $90.
Yeah.
This at $90, and it's 15 years old at $90, they're telling you 15 years,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And they nailed it.
Yeah.
I would guess this would be just as spectacular after 10 years. It would just be different.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would be as Bordeaux, St. Julien-esque softness about it. That just... I'm a little bit surprised by that. I hadn't had the Trailside. You had. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect. But honestly, I thought it would be more of the burly design and not this soft, smooth thing.
Well, this wine is a little bit more Bordeaux-esque than I recall the 06 being. That being said, Becky and I drank it on Mother's Day maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Hell, it's up there. The bottle's up on the top shelf.
Yeah. Similarly aged.
But this is a better wine. Okay. Than what but that was a really great wine. But it was maybe a little more Cali.
Okay.
But this one is just... It's one of my favorite Californian Cabernets we've done.
I think...
Because it tastes French.
Well, I mean...
Oh, you know.
Texture-wise, yes, but that front palate, that fruit, you're not going to get that in a French Bordeaux, not like
No. Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, there are some you can. Some of them have a more fruit-forward style, but it's not necessarily the playbook.
And
more so, that's why I'm saying St. Julien as opposed to, say, Pouillac or... I love Pouillac. I mean, some Pouillacs can be, but St. Julien is... A little bit more ostentatious, I suppose, if anything. But, you know.
I think it's the most burly style.
Yes. Yes.
Of the Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grand drink. Grand drink. Absolutely.
But if you had to say one thing about this wine.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the most prominent feature.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite feature about this wine?
My favorite feature, easily, probably. Well, it's the blueberry elements that you were mentioning, but it is the terroir coming through. I mean, it just is. It's the finish where when you're tasting the soils, you're tasting the little bit of acidity that cleans the wine and keeps it taut. It's the framing of the wine. The whole wine is just so well balanced that there's not an ounce of fat on it, and it's beautiful throughout. It's not ostentatious, but it's still gorgeous at the same time.
Yes.
I mean, not many wines can accomplish that.
That.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you my favorite element, and not necessarily the best element, but I'm going to tell you why. It's the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's my favorite element. In this glass of wine, one, it's a spectacular nose. So I'm not even going to try to compare it to something in my recent memory because there's none.
Yeah.
Big noses you'll find, but it tells you what this is going to be. Those floral elements hint at the French nature of it. Fruit. Is hinted at, you know, it's a wonderful fruit on the nose,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I love this wine.
Oh yeah, it's just a beautiful thing, and there's obviously a very good reason why we brought this wine to the show tonight.
Why you brought this wine to the show tonight?
Well, that's yes, yeah. Well, I brought it like 15 feet from where it was, and then you know, had to make room anyway. There's you know, so many, there's a lot to. You know, a lot of room to, you got to make some room, so, you know.
Well,
you know.
You know what's going to be difficult?
What's that?
Replacing this.
No, it just takes a lot of money. It's not difficult to replace it. Well, it is. You just spend the money. I mean, you know, you can't buy. I mean, I love the Left Bank by Nyers, but it ain't this, and it won't be this after 15 years.
No,
I mean, there's a lot of wines I love, but I know that they're not this. This wine is different. This wine is special. Really but in is. Reality, the money that I would allocate towards this, I would prefer to spend on Bordeaux, assuming that Ohio ever that wine.com ever sells any, yeah. All 25 of them. You know, it's like they had an email recently. Come celebrate Bordeaux futures at wine.com. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I bet this will be exciting. Click zero.
For Ohio.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you. Not that I was going to buy any futures, but I can't even if I wanted to. So you're like, up your ass. Up your ass. Don't email me that shit. You know that. You know Ohio sucks. It's not necessarily wine.com's fault, although I don't believe they've given two shits and even tried. Because there's more than 25 Bordeaux available in the state of Ohio. There is just more than 25 Bordeaux.
Well, and then the other
I think
one
we
was
agree
the
with that.
Bordeaux sale wines under $40 or something.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
There were six.
Yeah, there were six. Oh, yeah, because I emailed you.
There were six.
Six. Six. None of which you want.
Well, that's not.
I don't want a Cru Bourgeois for $55.
That's not true. There was one of our favorites, Chateau Bordeaux.
Chateau Bordeaux. Now it's $17.99. It's no longer $14.99.
Bastards.
I know.
Still really good.
Well, it's still really good, but it was really, really good at $14.99.
I got two last bottles of it at that price.
Oh, well, I've got enough. I've got like three bottles of it.
It's a wonderful value, folks.
It is a wonderful value. It's not this, but it's a wonderful value.
What are you going to do?
You can go on Vivino and order shit from different states illegally like a renegade and pay a little bit more in shipping. But, you know, you can do that if you want, if you live in Ohio. But I think most of you don't. So you can do whatever you want.
Vivino, the shipping's expensive and you're...
Well, yeah, sometimes it's worth it. If there's something that you really want... Now, most of the people that listen to this show don't have that problem because they live in states that don't suck ass. Yeah. But we have Dave Yost.
It's the problems with shipping... wine and booze here existed long before he was probably even born.
That's an unfortunate thing that he was born. I'm gonna burn masks because I'm funny. Fuck you, Dave Yost.
Yeah, dumbass.
Douche. I know. It makes me angry. So, I'm not normally an angry person.
No. No.
I'm not. I feel bitter, like I'm very... Yes. No. You were having a Karen moment this week. What was that about? I forget what that was about. You were really... you were trying to get Carlisle shipped to your house, and they shipped via UPS, and UPS won't deliver to a FedEx depot.
Bastards.
That's shock, you know? Yeah. You know? Oh, they won't deliver... It's like, no, they won't. Why? No. If you would ask me, will UPS deliver to FedEx depots? No.
Here's the thing.
No, they won't. Why don't you have it like sent to like Kroger or some shit like that?
Oh, yeah. I've had great success with them shipping.
Or CVS.
You know, the last time I shipped to Kroger, last two times, they tried to return it. Why they didn't accept it.
Yeah, why don't you ship it here?
I could have shipped it here.
You could have shipped it here.
I've been shipping it to the FedEx. I had no problems until this.
Oh. Have you gotten it yet?
I just need to check the email to see if it's... They won't ship it back out until it gets returned.
So,
oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. By the way, Triple B is off mic. She's eating the food. She's eating the food and checking her phone, you know.
Oh, it's important stuff.
It is important stuff. She's talking to her handler, so. Or not. Who knows? I didn't want to out her there, but, you know, yeah. Who knows?
It's a double top secret.
It is. Yeah, she's talking about T-60 or T-63 tanks, T-62 tanks, modernizing them, something like that. I don't know.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I know. Next, they're gonna put BB guns on golf carts and run them out there. Nice job, Putin.
My BB guns are too high tech.
That's true. Air rifles. We should have golf carts and have people throw rocks from golf carts. That's what we have. I don't think that's gonna work, Vladimir. Scott, did you know that this is Vladimir Putin? I'm a new guest on this show. I'm going to have many things that I'm interested in. Worse than Wilford. Anyway, When I'm not naked on a horseback riding horses, literally, if you get my drift. I blanked out as to what I was going to say. Oh, yes. We can make 1,600 tanks a year. Did you know that, Scott?
Really?
They're made of cardboard, but we can make them. We don't have any of the parts necessary, like computers. But you know what we also can make?
What could you make?
Trebuchets. We'll make trebuchets and sling shit at people. Yes. We don't have any. You know, back in the day of the Romans, they would, or maybe the Romans, I don't know, the Greeks, Sparta, yes. They would fling the dead bodies of their opponents back into the walls to scare their opponents. Unfortunately, all the dead bodies are our troops. So yeah. We'd have to. Luckily, though, we have plenty of ammunition.
Well, except you've been running out of that too, Vlad.
But no, we have plenty of dead bodies of our troops to fling.
So you're going back to the Monty Python days.
Yes.
Your arm's off. No, it's not.
Yes.
That's simply a mercenary's arm.
Sent all of our troops to, what is it, Bakhmut?
Yeah,
we got our ass kicked there.
I think they took the eastern half of the city.
And we lost it. Well, nobody wanted the eastern half of the city.
When you're fighting for a city that no longer exists, is it really that important?
It's
to
like
define?
Fighting over Thurston is what it is. Well, you know, Thurston's not a great town, by the way.
It's a horrible, 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 horrible thing we're joking about. But
it's true, though.
It's just unbelievable the depths of the depravity that this man's going to, you know.
And his subordinates.
Threatening to place nuclear weapons in Belarus. It's just a joke.
They don't work.
I don't think NATO's going to let him do that.
Probably not. He can't even get it there. His truck would run out of gas. Do you have any rental trucks? Go down to Hertz. We need to... It sounds like Hank. We need to take the nuclear weapons to Belarus and we have no military trucks.
No petrol?
I like
Go
it.
Go to the diesel.
I like it how Ukraine has like a drone and they're dropping like little fucking hand grenades on shit and blowing stuff up. It's like, you see the... It's like, that's not... I mean, don't you hear... I mean, it's not even that high up. It's like 50 feet above you, you stupid assholes. Well, good thing for them.
That's what happens when you use prisoners to be your army.
Did that not work? I don't know. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So, on our potpourri tonight, let's just go back through and relive our life with Bo. Bo was, it was right before COVID when we got him, like February, like right around Valentine's Day, right around your birthday.
Yeah.
And I remember straight off, as a puppy, we would have him down here because I think you all know puppies. He basically is like having a baby. The first time we had him on, he was on your lap, and he fell asleep. He slept the whole show.
On my lap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from that day on, he was always down here for every show.
And I think that's why he liked me so much. Falling asleep on my lap that mm-hmm. first night.
Yeah. It imprinted on you just like... But he loved everybody. Yeah, but you were a little bit different.
It was a special relationship. Well, I've always been a little bit different.
That's true. He would always throw a fit whenever he would notice. So, some dogs, you know, they see their leash and they're like, oh, we're going to go for a walk or this is that. Bo, if he saw you getting out wine glasses, decanters, cutting boards, shit like that, and bring it down here, he would lose his mind because he knew we were going to wine bowl. Couldn't stand it. And if he heard you out there clanging, and he would know the sounds of getting the wine glasses out and stuff like that, he would start throwing a fit, literally, until you let him out, and then he would sprint down the stairs. He loved it down here.
Would hear me at the door, mm-hmm. and would be waiting for me at the top of the stairs when I got here.
Yep. Flipping out. And then he'd come down, be excited. Scott would give him some treats. He would do this or that. And then basically he'd be unconscious for the he'd just pass out, either be on the floor or the couch, normally the couch, for like 3 hours.
Sometimes at your feet.
Sometimes. Yeah, he might get, like, especially during the summer, it would be a little too warm. So, well, it's always cool down here. He'd flop out here on the concrete, but most of the generally, it was right there over there on the couch, completely asleep.
You know. Until we were done.
Until we were done, then he would love on you. Yeah.
There was his side of the couch and my side of the couch.
And then he would breach that, and, you know.
He would lick me sometimes, and that was unusual, because that was not something he did. And it was like almost like off-putting. It's like, what are you doing? You don't do that.
Yeah, I know. He would always, like, break. He would always just go a little bit beyond occasionally. Or he would just flop on you and just tackle you because he needed you to love him and hold him.
Chewing and biting. But just then, you sent me one of those pictures today where he was just, like, looking up me adoringly in my face. It was really unsettling at times.
Uh-huh. It was just a little bit too much love. It was just too...
It was. But then, you know, there's some of those infamous nights, the... The Il Grigio night.
Oh, good God.
So I was bringing over a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I'd held this nice Il Grigio. What? That's a...
Grand Selezion.
Yeah.
Not the Reserva, the Grand Selezion.
And at the time, you know, might have been a conspiracy theory, but I was taking it out of the bag... Dog might have knocked it out of my hand. That's my thought on it. Or I might have just dropped it. I don't know.
You dropped it. You had been drinking before you got here.
No.
Yeah, you were out with Steve.
No.
And you were drunk by the time you got here.
So, yeah, we'd been to, what's that super California kitchen place, whatever.
Napa.
SoCal.
Something, yeah. Some restaurant.
We went there for his birthday. And then we went out afterwards, and that was a drunken fest, too. No, it's that place that has the monkey bread.
California Pizza? No. It's Napa. I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called. I've never been there.
It's not. Yes, you were there. We were there for his birthday.
I didn't go out for his birthday.
It's the Karen Mitchell. Yes, and then we went out drinking afterwards.
Oh, it was Del Mar.
Del Mar, yes.
Well, that wasn't this year. It was...
Regardless, that's where I'd been drinking with him.
Oh, well, okay.
It wasn't just with him. It was...
Oh, okay. All right.
My daughter and my wife. Anyway, but we were worried about him cutting himself. The bottle broke, kind of sort of at the neck, so the breakage wasn't that bad. But he leapt up every ounce of that bottle of wine through the carpet. It like saturated the carpet, and he was like sticking his dog face on it, sucking it up like a vacuum.
We have a big coffee table down here, and he was trying to ram his big old beak underneath there. And
well, I'd taken the table to put it over where the spill was.
Yeah.
That wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he would have found it. Anyway, apparently the Grand Selezion was quite good.
It was
he
delicious.
Loved Chianti.
Oh, my God.
It was great. We've had it since then. It was really fucking good.
Then he really liked me after that.
Yeah, he was a little bit dopey. Not that it wasn't dopey, but, you know,
he was
dopey.
Probably intoxicated. And we did do it purposely. Trust me, I didn't intend to break that bottle.
No.
It's freaking hysterical, though. Him sticking his snout under the coffee table.
The whole damn show. Wine. He's like, I must drink. I am a drunk. Ah, this is what they were always talking about. I love it. It's great.
After that, he might have got a couple nips of wine after that. He did like his red wine.
Well, if he could get it, but it wasn't offered to him that often.
Well,
so, you know.
I can be generous.
I remember the time we were watching the Portuguese show where the guy took his dick out. Not a dick. He was showing his ass. Remember the Portuguese thing?
I don't remember anything about a dick.
Oh, no. It was the helicopter dick. No, he didn't show his dick. He showed his ass where he bent over.
Always was butt crack.
Oh, yeah, whatever. It's his ass. Anyway, so
the Portuguese documentary.
We're watching it because it was like an hour and a half long. It was after we'd done the show. We were doing that after we were drinking another bottle of wine while we were doing it. But we were sitting on the couch and we were watching on a fucking iPad, weren't we? Or was it the computer? It was there.
No, it feels like it was on the TV.
We mirrored it, but then we ended up just watching on the fucking computer, I think.
Okay.
And so we're sitting there and Bo's sitting between us as we're eating.
Oh my God.
Eating like beef sticks.
Yes. Those bison jerky sticks I had in my bag.
Is this guy, why is this guy's ass showing? This is poor Vody. This is Scott's video, isn't he? Likes it.
That weird car driving down the path at the winery in that movie.
Tractor.
And it's like, it had all these, what seemingly were interesting characters, but they didn't tell you anything about them, or they didn't really let them talk.
It wasn't a very good one.
It could have been. It was,
we've never got any more. That was a source. I don't know who that woman was, but she must have been some
PR lady.
Yeah, for, I don't know what it was. It was the same place that then contacted us about the natural wines in California.
I love that documentary.
Yeah. That was a good documentary, and they sent us those wines from, what the hell was that winery that was horrendous?
Except they got sent back, didn't they? Wasn't there a problem with that shipment?
No, it was...
No, yeah. Yes, there was.
No, there was a separate shipment. I don't know what it was for.
The shipment came while you were on vacation.
Now, we never... Yeah, so they had sent us a bunch of that wine. Who the hell? What was the wine? It didn't matter. It was that really terrible stuff, folks. The Merlot that was made of dust, and then that other thing that had Chardonnay in it. It was really bad.
It was like an orange wine.
It wasn't orange wine. It was red wine.
Well, the second one was like a funky color, wasn't it? Like
they were both funky colors, but they weren't orange wines. They make an orange wine. No, they make a golden Chardonnay. But anyway, there was they tried. She never let us know that they were shipping wines, but they were shipping wines to us, a second one. No indication that we were getting it, because we had already gotten the shipment of stuff we didn't want.
We thought.
Yeah. We didn't know there was a second shipment coming. And so they delivered it to the house, but I was on vacation, and it got sent back, and apparently that really pissed her off. I don't know. I don't know. And never heard from her again. You know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It was weird.
But Bo liked the movie.
Which one? He didn't see the second one.
The first one.
Well, the first one he did. Yes, he did. He liked the tractor ticking down.
It was weird. Was it a tractor? Was it? What was it? What was that thing?
I don't know. I had sent out some other people that listen to the show that I know. I had sent them like the preview of, I think, the Natural Wines one and a couple other things that they'd watch it too. They were like, glad we didn't pay for that. But still, whatever.
I enjoyed the Natural Wine doc.
The Natural Wine one was good because they actually spoke to people.
Yeah.
And they detailed it. The wine that we had from the one guy, what was that called? I can't remember what it was called.
Michael somebody.
Yeah, but it was the... It was, yeah, Impulse was one of them. Yes. And then that Merlot. It's on the Old World Winery.
Yes.
Yes. Really horrendous. But, you know, whatever. Maybe the other things were good.
Well...
But, you know, this feels like, so basically for the last, 3 years, Bo's been on the show, and this is the seventh season, so half the time. And honestly, Scott, do you remember a time before Bo? I don't.
Not as vividly as the time with him. I mean, yeah. For one thing, his arrival kind of sort of blended with where we'd been for a little while, but you know, we're in our sweet spot with the show, you know.
Yeah,
we know what we want to do, you know. You tell bad offensive jokes and impersonating different people, bringing out all the voices in your head, and
I don't know what you're talking
about.
It works,
you know. It's part of your therapy. It's a little better when you take your medicine, but it's, you know, it's not always necessary. Helps the show out apparently, but no, the answer is no. That one, I just don't have that long of an attention span or memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's gonna be a void, you know. It's gonna be different. I didn't wear my jersey that I wore for every show.
No, you didn't.
That I, you know. I was thinking about that earlier today. Will I keep those or what will I do with those? I'll probably keep them.
Keep what?
Those jerseys, because they're going to remind me of him.
Yeah. 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 We'll never forget him. And we were both there to bury him yesterday. Yeah. So it was a special moment for both of us.
Yeah, I was glad to be there. It was, it's bittersweet, but life is always changing and you never know when it's going to change for you. And this is just a reminder of that. But God, he was a good dog. He, you know, was so good to your kids. And now Sally's going to be she's a good girl. Sally's a good girl.
There'll never be another animal that gets pissed off by that.
So we would, and mind you, we didn't really torture the dog, but he really hated Sally.
Or George. He hated George, who's here tonight with us, by the way. George is the substitute. He didn't do too well, as I said. He vomited on the floor when I... But Bo was sitting there and he was involved in something else, like Scott's petting him or whatever, and someone looked at Bo and said, or Scott says it, you know, Sally's a good girl. Sally's just a good girl. Bo would stop and basically lose his temper.
Oh,
get up.
God. It was so funny.
If I said it across the room, he would get up and come and confront me.
We also said it in a certain tone. Sally's a good girl.
She's a good girl.
She's a good girl.
Same thing with Bo. He would visibly get upset when you started say her name or say his name.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He would get pissed off.
Yeah.
Not like he would get pissed off if Sally was in his domain.
No. He was basically afraid of them. But he would get very uncomfortable and have to confront you about it. And then you'd have to have a discussion with him. Explaining to him how good of a girl Sally was. So, you know, I mean, she's a really good girl. She's not.
Might have to torture him.
She really needs emotional problems. So, you know.
He really did.
He did have some. He needed therapy.
Calm me down. But yeah. Then a little rub to his belly and he was good.
That's true.
But he was, he was a big dopey labradoodle.
Yeah.
But, you know, and honestly, once he got, and he wasn't super big for his size, right? He probably went around 70, 75 pounds.
Well, he's a flat coat, and he was big for that. He's closer to 85, 90.
Think?
Yeah.
He always had a lean look about him to me. You know, he's
a
very
hair.
Athletic looking dog, even though probably not that athletic.
No, he's very fast.
He could run.
Oh, he's very fast, yes.
But it's like, left to right,
rangy thing. Yes. He's not a. He was a sprinter, not a. You know, I mean, he's a lummox too. So
he wouldn't have done well in the shuffle cone drill.
No, he would fall over the cones, you know.
But yeah. He was so good with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So good with them, and you don't. With a dog that you might consider to be spazzy to some degree, and he certainly could be spazzy, but he was good with your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knew when he needed to calm down and when he needed to be a good dog, which was apparently rarely, but still, that's good enough.
Well, you trained him well.
Yeah. So, I'm going to raise my glass.
Ditto.
To Bo.
Beauregard. He's a great dog.
We love you.
Yeah.
So, folks, with that, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on The Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2008 Heights Cellars Trailside Vineyard. We're going to go over to Scott. We're going to get a numerical score for this wine. Probably better than a 90.
It's going to be better than a 90. Mm-hmm. How could... What I want to know is... And that tasting for that review by Wine Spectator was like in 2014. It was like dated like April 2014. Mm-hmm. I want to know how the fuck they scored this a 90.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah.
I mean, it's rarely...
You're not... Maybe you didn't show, you know...
What, I mean, I don't know what it couldn't show. What that we...
I was fired, so I wasn't able to give it a 99.
But it's...
110.
It's rare that we go, fuck, that was underscored.
Yeah.
And I have to go and say, fuck, that was underscored. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is a spectacular wine. My first experience of the Fireside.
Trailside.
The Trailside. Excuse me. Somebody's liking it a little bit. Which, you know, Rob's talked about this many times on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Would you refer to this bottle and this wine that they make year in, year out? Would you use the word classic, epic? What word would you... Single word would you... A standard?
I would say classic. It's I understand why they charge $160 a bottle, but that's a lot.
It is, and I'd yet to pull the trigger on this, but I can see myself buying this once a year to put back for 15 years.
Yeah.
And why do I say that? Because of what's in the glass in front of us. What's the little bit that's left?
It's really good.
What's the number? The number's almost not important. It really is almost not important.
It makes a difference.
I like it as a 93, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I do not absolutely have an explanation for the 93. I'm going to quote the Triple B. This is really hard for me to score. And it's a bit of an exaggeration. It's just, what's the comparison point for this? Hmm. You know, you don't often drink a 15-year-old, that's a classic, epic, whatever word you want to describe it as, that is... I don't want to say transformative, but it's different than other big, expensive California reds. This is...
It tastes French.
But on top of that, it's got this exquisitely complex fruit-based front palate,
mm-hmm.
that I would say the rest of it's French.
Mm-hmm.
The texture, the...
The oak is French.
On you, yeah, and the length and the finish and the way it displays the gravelly texture, you know, it shows that sandy, stony... thing across the finish, the way the tannins have just, they've dissipated. They're still there, but they're just there kind of as an accompaniment.
Yeah.
There's no comparison point for this.
No.
What would you really, can you compare this to anything we've done on this show?
No. I mean,
your experience with wine is greater than mine, but
no.
I don't.
It's not, and I understand why they charge a lot more anymore, because now $90 is what you pay for Napa, just Napa floor shit, but, you know. And this is so much different than that. This is, especially if it's even better now, which apparently it probably is much better. 8 years later, vines are older.
Maybe.
I mean, and they are. It could be even better now. So, say it is better now. It probably is. For California, $150, $160 bottle of wine. It is. And then you think, what can you get at 90 now? It's just like, you don't want... They're good wines. They taste good. They're not something that's going to necessarily... You're going to remember 10 years from now, this is one thing you would. I'm giving this wine 95 of my points.
But I think no matter what number we put on this, we have to agree with it. I think anything below my 93 is
asinine,
stupidly low. But mm-hmm. it's like, is 93 to 95 the range on this? I don't know, because again, what's the comparison point? What mm-hmm. what doesn't it show to deserve 93, 95? Nothing.
Well, I believe this is the highest review I've given to a California Cabernet. I'm pretty sure of that. I thought about that long and hard. I thought about the ZD that I enjoyed. This is higher. I thought about the 99 Cinque Sapage that we had. That's a Bordeaux style blend, but this is better.
We love that Hidden Ridge, but you know, it wasn't something that had been aged and set back.
Yeah.
It was drink now, so it's, you can't. So maybe I should need to go back and say, okay, maybe I can understand why it was a 90, because what was it really 9 years ago? We don't know.
And this is also better than, and we have had a lot of the Bordeaux-style blends from California. We've had Clos de Vals. Well, that's actually the Stag's Leap Cabernet. We had the Stag's Leap Cabernet from Clos de Vals. We had Chimney Rocks' Élevage. We've had Fray Carano's Trésor. We've had Symmetry by Rodney Strong. We've had the Left Bank from. We've had a lot of great wines from Napa or Sonoma in recent memory. Now, this is a different cut above.
This is
but this is a cut above.
This is a cut above. This has provenance.
Yeah, we've had Pride. We've had. I mean, there's so many wines that we have had in the past. This wine is a cut above. It is more complex. It's more interesting. It's great. Now, is this is the one thing, though, that I come back to. What can you buy in France at Bordeaux for the same price? You can buy Lynchbage.
You buy a lot of stuff.
And this is the thing, Scott. An aged Lynchbage would be a better wine than this. But that's okay.
And
I would probably give that a 97, a 98. That's where those scores come in. And so even 95, this is an exceptional aged California Cabernet. And you know what? Also, we're going to say this. Heights, we've never had a bad wine from Heights.
Oh, Jesus.
Tip of the cap.
Bad wine, we've never had a good wine from Heights, because it's always better than just good.
Even the Grigliolino, which we thought would be... We liked it. It was great. A wonderful wine.
I never had anything from Heights that I wouldn't say anything is less than great.
Yeah.
That Grigliolino, I would say, was great, like you said.
Great is the starting point for Heights.
We scored that 91, maybe?
90s. Yeah, low 90s. Yeah, we loved it.
And it's a weird varietal, and it's a weird thing, and we just did it because we could.
And as the weather gets warmer, cool wine to be drinking in the springtime.
That Grigliolino? Shit. Yeah.
And now it's springtime for... Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Now it's springtime for Hitler and Germany. Rhineland's a fine land once more. We're marching to a faster pace.
Did I mention I saw Matthew Broderick in that show?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Look out, here comes the Hamas. No, let's forget that. Anyway, Triple B loved that. I don't know why. But she doesn't.
Not as much. One of the boys was singing. There wasn't one of the boys singing that song.
Henry. I used to sing that really loudly in the house.
Henry, why was I thinking it was Luke?
It was Henry. Because Luke was a baby. You know, Henry. No, it was William. He was like, look at her. Shut up, William. Okay.
It was William.
I stopped singing after that. But,
well, so.
It was something on Saturday morning. You'd wake up. You're going to make pancakes. You have a lot of gusto, and you would just belt that out and sound magnificent. So, you know.
Rob, pancakes, Mel Brooks.
Singing about Hitler. Yeah.
It's a great Broadway musical. It really is funny.
Mm-hmm. And with that, folks, once again, a tip of the cap to Heights Cellars, and a tip of the cap to Beau.
Yeah.
A forever tip of the cap. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.